Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, friends, to our latest episode of Everyday Truth. As we said, last episode, we're in the last chapter of the book of Nehemiah. One of the things, Caleb, I really like about doing these everyday podcasts is, man, we make some progress.
We do, yeah. Sometimes, you know, it might be, again, chapter 12, there's you know, it seems a little slow because we just did two verses, but I mean, there's just so much here in these chapters, and we've been able to accomplish a lot these last few podcasts, and just really looking forward to, I love the ending of the book of Nehemiah. It's really interesting.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the podcast today, just how rich this last chapter is. I love to preach messages from a series. So I like to preach through books of the Bible. But sometimes when you just do that once a week, for instance, a Sunday morning series, mm-hmm. it takes a while to get through a book. But what we're finding with Everyday Truth is, man, we make progress in getting these books, getting through these books.
Just a few weeks.
And the fact that you all are joining us, that just makes it all the more worthwhile. So thanks again for being a part of the podcast even today. We're in Nehemiah chapter 13. We're talking about how Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem after some years back in Persia, and having been gone and coming back, he sees a marked change in the people. It's interesting, Caleb, because I often hear this from missionaries that will go away to a field of service and be gone for 4 or 8 years, and then come back and say, wow, you know, things have really changed. And sometimes it's that being away and not seeing the daily walk and then coming back, that's when you can see the change. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of you listeners, maybe you've done a diet, you know, done some weight loss, and people that are around you maybe don't see it immediately mm-hmm. because it's incremental, a pound every couple days. But people that haven't seen you and then come back and say, wow, you've really lost weight. So that's what's happening here in Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah comes back and he's, wow, things have really digressed. And he deals, first of all, with the worship, because here's Tobiah, a critic. And isn't it interesting how critics love to stay close?
Oh, yeah.
They want to be in. Mm-hmm. They want to know what's going on. They want to have a level of involvement, because that's the best seat from which I can criticize. Yeah. And that was Tobiah. Nehemiah just didn't deal with it. He kicked them out. You're out of here. He threw his stuff out on the street and put the proper things back into that storeroom for the house of God. Yeah. And that's where we left off last episode. So in chapter 10, so there's more here going on. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. So remember, part of the renewal of the covenant was that they were going to supply the needs of the Levites so that they could do their job.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we read a few episodes ago that even the Levites were giving the tithe of the tithes. So it was a good thing. People were working, they were prospering, they were giving to the house of God. The people in the house of God, they were giving themselves. It was great. But now we find people are becoming selfish. See, when worship becomes secondary, then your lusts, your desires, yourself, you become primary. Hmm. So now they're not giving to the house of God. The Levites, now they're not getting a paycheck. So what do? They have to leave serving God and work their own fields. Like, everybody is losing here.
Yeah.
And then verse 11, then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? So isn't it interesting, Caleb, that Nehemiah sees this, he sees this broken down system. The house of God is not being cared for as it ought. And he deals with the rulers. Why? Because leadership ultimately bears the greater accountability.
Yeah. Everything rises and falls on leadership.
So you look at perhaps a family where kids are misbehaving, or a church where things are in disarray. And if you're not careful, what you want to do is say, well, those are just bratty kids, or that's just those people are just compromisers in that church. What we really need to look at is what has the leadership done? Hmm. Yeah, in most cases, it's a failure in training, a failure in consistency, a failure in taking control, taking the oversight thereof, yeah, would be the New Testament way of saying that.
Right.
So Nehemiah deals directly with the rulers. And then in verse 11, he says, why? Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. I love that.
Yeah.
And then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn, the new wine, the oil unto the treasuries. I made treasurers over the treasuries. So, man, when he dealt with it, people got back busy. And then I love what Nehemiah says in verse 14. And listeners, if you can follow along, great. Otherwise, just listen to this verse carefully, because it says, remember me, O my God, concerning this. Wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. I read a verse like that, Caleb, and I really see the heart of Nehemiah. Because Nehemiah said, Lord, I did this for you. Lord, take notice of this. I don't think he's saying it in a self-congratulatory way. I think what the heart of Nehemiah is, Lord, I'm doing what I do for you, for your work. Because these are unpopular decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Some people probably are looking at him, especially these people that have failed to, or as Nehemiah put it, forsaken the house of God. No doubt some of these people are looking at this as, well, who's Nehemiah think he is? You know, coming back here, and the moment he's back, he's throwing himself back in charge and decreeing whatever he wants. And like you said, at first you can read that verse, you say, well, that's kind of a selfish prayer. God, just remember me. But I think it really is a matter of the heart and saying, God, I'm not trying to do this to lord over everybody. I'm not trying to do this to say, hey, look at me. But my heart really is, I want to see people return to their primary concern is worship.
Yeah, it's a leader. Leaders need to lead before the Lord, understanding that ultimately we're all under authority. And I think that's where the verse I just talked about a moment ago from 1 Peter chapter 5, where it says about elders taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. In other words, not for other reasons, not because someone made you do it or because there's a lot of money in it, but just because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Leaders, we are under a greater level of accountability. I'm talking to dads and moms and pastors and teachers, even those of you that have influence, maybe not a position, but just influence over people. We are responsible as curators of that influence. And what is really striking to me, Caleb, is he says this at the end of this section on the renewal of worship. So he says that in verse 14, but you'll notice he also says that in verse 22. So I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they...
It says to sanctify the Sabbath day, remember me, oh my God, concerning this also.
That's it. That's the part I was looking for. Remember me. So when he dealt with their work, with their the Sabbath day observance or their lack of it, he said the same thing. So in verse 14, he said, Lord, I did this for you. Remember me. In verse 22, he said, Lord, I did this for you. Remember me. And then there was a third time he dealt with.
Verse 31.
Verse 31, where he says, read it, because I'm not there.
Verse 31, and for the wood offerings at times appointed for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good.
So in each one of the areas that needed to be shored up, whether it was in the area of worship, verses 1 through 14, or the area of work, and Sabbath observance, verses 15 through 22, or the last section, which was, I think, the most insidious of all, where he's dealing with the fact that they violated the relationship thing. They're letting their daughters and sons intermarry with people that don't even believe in God, and it's affecting their children. That was what really upset Nehemiah. He dealt with it very severely. We'll look at that in an episode or two. But in each situation, Nehemiah said, "Lord, I did this for you." Mm-hmm. And therein lies a great motivation for you and me. That we have you heard it this way, Caleb? We live for an audience of one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how easy is it for us, even in our religious observances, even in our spiritual duties, to do what we do not for God, but for people? Yeah. Whether that be the special music.
Mm-hmm.
Or the worship service, or the preaching. How about this one? Ready? The podcasting.
Right.
You know, why do we do what we do? And there's really only one valid answer to that, and that is we do what we do for him. The verse that comes to my mind is the one in Ephesians where it says, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And when there's that singularity of purpose and passion, when it comes back to, I'm really doing what I do for God, then there's really no disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just astounds me the confidence that Nehemiah could have, you know, because like you said, it comes down to, whether it's something like this podcast or the way we worship on Sunday, it's all about what is your heart behind it? Who are you trying to please? And the fact that Nehemiah can come to all of these situations, all of these big decisions, everything that he did where he could have at any moment taken credit or glory for, hey, I'm turning Israel back around, or hey, I'm doing, look at what I did for the worship, look what I did for these people's lives. In every situation, he could confidently say that, God, this is not about me, it's about you. And it's very convicting, because I think a lot of situations, you know, when we do something great for God, our first thought could be, wow, look what I did.
Right, and who noticed?
Yeah.
And do you think that, and we'll close with this thought, do you think that Nehemiah's earthly job helped him with this attitude? Because think about it. His earthly job was, I live my whole life for the king.
Hmm.
He's my focus. I control my attitude in front of him. I would die for him. The food comes to me first. My whole life is for his health, his advancement, his glory.
Yeah.
And Nehemiah, that was his attitude toward the real king.
Wow. Yeah, I've never really thought about it that way. That definitely, you know, shows you the things that God has you doing now, preparing you for the things he has planned for you in the future.
That he ultimately has
right,
for us.
Yeah, and I think that it really did play into it.
Well, that's the thought for today, and appreciate you joining us. It really does mean a lot to Caleb and to me both, and we're looking forward to continuing on next episode. Hope you have the very best of days today, my friend.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.